Welcome to this Words of Life radio broadcast coming to you from the auditorium of Arlington Baptist Church in Bryson City, North Carolina. Before Pastor Spencer comes with today's message, let me invite you to worship with Arlington Baptist Church. They're located on Hughes Branch Road in Bryson City. Just turn onto Hughes Branch Road at the Ingalls Store on Route 19 and go half a mile. The church will be on your right. Join them for Sunday school at 10 a.m. and the morning worship service at 11. Now let's join Dr. Spencer for today's message from God's Word.
Phases of the second coming. There is the rapture of the church taking place at the end of the church age and just before the tribulation begins. That's the rapture when believers go home. It's unseen to the world, and the world will make some sort of an excuse. We won't have time to go into all that this morning. But then 7 years later, the revelation, that's when he comes and sets his feet on the Mount of Olives. Now, I'm going to tell you, this one the whole world will see. Believe me, because they will be called to account for how they have lived for Christ or what they have done with Christ as their Savior. The Old Testament is saturated with prophecies that refer to the second coming of Christ. Both Testaments are filled with references that come concerning that second coming. One scholar has estimated there are 1,845 references to Christ's second coming in the Old Testament. 17 of the 39 books in the Old Testament give prominence to the second coming of Christ that is yet future. In 260 chapters in the New Testament, there are 318 references to the second advent of Christ, the second coming. That's amazing. That's one in every 30 verses of the New Testament talks about the second coming of Christ. 23 of the 27 New Testament books refer to the second coming of Christ. For every prophecy in the Bible that talks about His first coming, every prophetic statement about His first coming, there are 8 prophetic statements that talk about His second coming. We celebrate Christmas every year. The whole world likes to celebrate it, whether they realize or care what it's all about or not, it's still celebrated. So we recognize the significance of His first coming, even those who don't believe He was God, even those who don't believe in salvation, love to celebrate His birthday anyway, just for the presents and for the good time that they have. But 8 times as much is mentioned of His second coming. And even Christians go through days, weeks perhaps, without ever thinking about the fact that Jesus Christ may come back today. G. Campbell Morgan said, "I believe the second coming of Christ is perpetual light on the path that makes the present life bearable." Now, there are 2 words in regard to the second coming that we need to briefly look at. One of those is the word rapture. This word rapture is a theological term. It is not a term that is used in Scripture. Other Greek words that mean about the same thing are used, but this word is not specifically used. The rapture refers only to that momentary event when Jesus will return in the clouds and receive believers up with Him into the clouds. When will that take place? Well, we know that the rapture will end the church age because the church will be taken out. But the church age will end with the rapture of believers taken out. The actual tribulation will begin with the making of the covenant. When the Antichrist makes a covenant with Israel and says, "Hey, I'll protect you. I'll take care of you. You won't have to worry about things." When he makes that covenant, and Israel, so willing and so desiring to have peace, will be willing to make that covenant, turn all of their protection over to him. When that covenant is made, you can start the clock, because 7 years is about to run out, you see. That is, and I believe, in a pre-tribulational rapture. That means this: you are in the church age. You're in the age in which we live right now, the body of Christ being called out for Him. The rapture will take place, and tribulation will begin. 7 years later, the second coming, set His feet on the Mount of Olives, and that'll end. We have a pre-tribulational rapture of the church. Now, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore," what? "Sober, and watch unto prayer." That doesn't mean be solemn. Have you ever looked at Old Testament worship? Have you ever studied the worship that goes on in heaven? And the key word in worship is joy. They're happy people. They're excited. They're joyful. That's why I believe we ought to smile and enjoy our worship together, you see. So we have this imminent coming. That the first word is the rapture. The second word we need to look at is a word that is a scriptural term. And it's the word imminent in 1 Peter 4, 7. "But the end of all things is" what? "At hand." And that word "at hand" means imminent. That means, folks, in relation to all of the ages, His coming is very near to us. At hand, nothing needs to precede the rapture. There are no other signs. There's nothing that's going to happen that you can look at and say, "Ah, now that's happened. Now the rapture can come." No. Everything that has to happen before the rapture comes has happened. We're just simply waiting for that moment. Some 40 days after the resurrection, He stood on the Mount of Olives, Mount of Ascension, with His disciples, and the following event took place in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. the disciples are given instructions. He said to them in Acts 1, verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." And the disciples then, at this moment, they witnessed one of the most significant events in the history of mankind. They stood there. And in verse 9, "When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly," they looked intently at what was going on, "he had their full and undivided attention. Toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel." I can imagine they're looking up, and Jesus has gone up. The cloud has come by, and now he's gone. And they're still looking up. And all of a sudden, one of these two men in white apparel speak, and they go, "Whoa, where'd you come from?" Stunned by their presence. "Which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Now, it is important that we recognize something here. When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, this event took place in daylight hours. They stood there in the presence of the other apostles. And he had their attention. They were focused upon him. They were engaged in conversation. He was talking to them. They were talking to him. And their attention was focused right on him. And as they talked, he began to rise. And slowly he arose. And then the clouds came in front and took him out of their sight. He went up in the air. And the clouds moved between him. And the disciples stood on the ground, still looking up. Now, at this time, the most comforting prophecy that they could have possibly received came to them at this time. Promises in the Word. Understand their emotions. They had been through a lot. They had the triumphal entry. He's going to set up his kingdom. And a week later, the trial. We've lost everything. And they were scared. And then the crucifixion. And then hiding in the upper room because they thought the next thing the soldiers are going to do, they're coming after us. They're going to get us. And so they're frightened. And 3 days later, in come the women and said, "He's not dead. He has risen." And so now they're excited. Peter and John run out to the tomb, and here they are. They're excited. He's risen. And he appears to them numerous times, you see. And they're excited. Even on this mountain, they said, you know, "Will you now set up your kingdom?" You know, they still didn't understand. And then he begins to rise up, and he's taken out of their sight. And he's just told them, "Your job now is to plant the seed and keep winning people. Be a witness." So here they are. They feel defeated. There's great confusion. They feel abandoned by him. And the enemy is closing in on them. And in verse 10, "While they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which said, you men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, the same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." So he promises to return the same way he came. So here's what we're looking at. Coming in the manner that he left means that he will come in the air to receive his saints. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15. "And for this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent." That means we'll not precede them. We're not going ahead of them that are already asleep. Those who have already died in the Lord, you see. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ," those who have died, will rise first. Then we which are alive, most scholars assume that means that the dead who are in the graves, their body will be resurrected in a new body, and they'll come up so far, and then the rest of us will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. There's a lot of confusion in people, and unfortunately a lot of confusion in Christians between the event that occurs here and the event that occurs 7 years later. This is the rapture. This is the revelation. The rapture is where believers are caught up in the air with Christ. The revelation is where Christ comes ascending to the earth with believers coming with him, and he plants his feet on the Mount of Olives. The rapture has no signs coming before it. There are no more signs left. Everything that's to be done before the rapture is done. It could occur before I get the next word out. The revelation still has many things that will be fulfilled during the tribulation before that second phase of the second coming. The rapture is secret. That means that believers will understand it, but most of the world won't. Somehow the world will come up with some explanation for the disappearance of hundreds of millions of people out of every tongue and nation around the world, and they'll have some explanation for it. And it will be an explanation that the world will swallow. They'll buy it. So the revelation will be witnessed by the world. Not the rapture, but the revelation. When he comes there, the whole world's going to see it. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The rapture will be followed by the church entering into the presence of the Lord in heaven. The revelation over here will be followed by Israel entering into the millennial kingdom, you see. Now, coming in like manner as he left also means that he will come for us in his body. There have been those who deny that he will come in any manner. 2 Peter 3, verse 3 and 4. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Well, that's not a true statement. Things do not continue as they have since creation. There have been cataclysmic events like the worldwide flood. There would be a cataclysmic event like the second coming of Christ. All of that, you see. This view that everything just continues like it was at the beginning of creation is what they call uniformitarianism. And they don't believe that anything spectacular will happen. But the Bible says, yes, things have happened. Worldwide cataclysmic events, the confusion of the tongues, the worldwide flood, things like that, that God has allowed to happen, and there's going to be more. The rapture, the revelation will take place. There are those who will take the second coming and twist it or reinterpret his return into something that's an impersonal influence, spirit of Christmas. Or there'll be a worldwide spreading of the attitude of love toward each other. Well, that's not what the scripture says. He will come in like manner as he went. He will come in his resurrected body. He had a body when he left. He'll come back in his resurrected body. He was in his resurrected body when he left from the Mount of Ascension, you see. In like manner as you've seen him go. James chapter 5, verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. There are no signs to be fulfilled before this rapture takes place. There are, however, shadows of events that will come after the rapture. In other words, the stage is set. How many times have I said this in the past 4.5+ years here? That there are things that happen in our church age that we see happening that are not fulfillments, The fulfillment will come in the tribulation. But my, we can see the stage being set. Now, there are seven developments that foreshadowed the rapture, things that will not come to pass till during the tribulation, but we already see the foreshadowing of those events, you see. It's like a tree that's planted here and the sun's over here. We still see the shadow over here. We're not seeing the event itself, but the shadow is cast prior to the rapture. For example, one event is the return of the Jews to the land of Palestine. We've already seen that. That's already ready. And that's already taken place. We know that his coming has to be closed. Our generation has witnessed the return of the Jews to the land of Palestine, a land promised to them. Do they have it all? No. Are they there in belief? Have they already put their trust in Christ? No. But they're in the land. We've also seen the rise of Russia. Our generation has witnessed that. The Soviet Union may appear to have died, but Russia is alive and well, believe me. It has the potential of invading Israel. It has the desire to do that. It has the desire for what? For the wealth that is in Israel. And remember, these are foreshadowings of events that no other generation has experienced, has seen, you see. The stage is being set for what is about to come. Third, there is a departure from the faith. Our generation has begun to witness something that's going to find its fulfillment in the tribulation period. But we have witnessed a departure from God's word that is even within the religious crowd, within the organized church in America and other countries as well. We've begun to see that departure, you see. First Timothy, we have the denial of the key doctrines of the Word of God, the denial of key attributes of God. 1 Timothy 4:1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And again, we see the foreshadowings of what's going to take place. We have ecumenical movement. You have an ecumenical movement that says doctrine does not matter. Doesn't matter what you believe. We can all get together. Well, yes, it does. It does matter. And we have a world full of religion like that that says, forget anything about doctrine, what this teaches. It doesn't matter. If you just love people, that's enough. No, God says there are certain things. The deity of Christ, believing in the deity of Christ, the atonement, those things are absolutely essential. So we have that we've seen in our lifetime. We've also seen the formation of the four world power blocks. Our generation has witnessed the rise of the nations mentioned in the four world power blocks, and we don't have time to go into those. The alignment of these nations on all sides of Israel. Only in the last year or two have we seen it come to coalesce together to where it looks like Israel is absolutely isolated on every side. And even the support they have from America has grown tenuous. God help us if we do not support Israel. We were promised, God promised Israel, I'll bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. And then the increase of travel and knowledge. In Daniel chapter 12, verse 4, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. That last phrase, knowledge shall be increased, has the idea in the original language that knowledge will go poom. Knowledge will explode. 20 years ago, 25 years ago, I remember as a kid, my grandmother would get a call on a dial, you know, a rotary phone, and I'd want to run and answer it. She said, "No, that's not our ring." And she'd pick it up. She was careful what she said, because the neighbors might be listening in. So, and today, I not only have a phone most anywhere I am, but I have internet. I have GPS. What an explosion of knowledge we have seen in our generation. And then the beginning of the birth pangs of a new age. Our generation has experienced an increase in the frequency and the intensity of cataclysmic events around the world. We've seen things happen we never would have dreamed. We've seen cataclysmic events before, but the frequency of them and the degree, intensity of them just seems to be so much worse as the days go on, you see. The world we know, as we know it, is near its end. I believe the Lord's coming. I don't know when, but I believe it's getting closer every day. When we talk of anticipating His coming, my mother often wants to anticipate His coming, but at the same time she's concerned because of so many family members that are lost. If you believe that He is coming soon, it'll put you on your knees to pray for your family, to pray for the lost. If you believe He's coming soon, it'll send you forth to tell friends and loved ones and neighbors how to be saved. It ought to, if you really believe it. If you believe His coming is soon, it ought to bring an urgency to giving the gospel out. And if you believe He's coming soon, it means it'll encourage you or urge you to make sure that every day you're living for the Lord Jesus. In the early church, they used to greet each other with the word Maranatha. The word Maranatha is a Syriac word. It has the idea of "our Lord comes." It used to be the greeting in the early church. When believers would gather together, or they would depart from one another, it wasn't hello and goodbye, it was Maranatha. If we had the same upward look every day, we'd be greeting each other. Maranatha, maybe today. Our Lord comes, you see. While on a South Pole expedition, the British explorer, Ernest Shackleton, because of being locked in the ice, he had to leave some of his men, and he was able to get, he had to leave them on Elephant Island, promising that he would return for them as soon as possible and rescue them. Later, when he tried to go back, huge icebergs had blocked the way, and they couldn't get through, and the wintertime up there, things lock in solid. Ships have been locked into those and trapped there for the winter. But one day, they noticed that the ice began to break up a little bit, and an avenue opened up in the ice, and he was able to get through. He got to his men. His men were ready and waiting, and they quickly scrambled on board, and quickly they started out the same passage they had come in, and they had no more started out than the ice began to bunch together behind them and locked them, and would have locked them out. He made this statement to his men. He said, "It's fortunate that you were packed and ready to go." And the leader of the other men looked at their leader, and he said, "We never gave up hope. Whenever the sea was clear, we rolled up our sleeping bags and our material and reminded each other, the boss may come today."
Thank you for joining us for the Words of Life broadcast. You may have questions about God's Word or your Christian life. Pastor Spencer would love to have the opportunity to answer your questions. You may send your questions by email to lspencer1146@gmail.com. Again, that's lspencer1146@gmail.com. Until next week at this same time, may God bless you.